Good morning. Our scripture reading today, we're back in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by this faith into this grace which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone may possibly die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Thanks, Shane. Last update I got that Kurt is fine, and he's going to get something to eat. So probably doesn't like the attention, but you know what? We love him, and I just wanted to pass that on to you. Well, Happy New Year. It's last week, just was 7 days ago, but we met in a different year. After the service last week, Floyd reminded me he wouldn't see me till next year. It's a way that we track time. And how many of you guys still have a wall calendar? I know we're all digital on our phones, but do you guys still do wall calendars? So what are some of the things you have on your wall calendar up? Birth? The theme, I'm talking about not on the days, but if you have do you guys get a theme-based calendar? Do you hobbies or what do you do? Camping, okay. What else? Family? Classic cars. All the other women in the room, probably. Star Wars? Bridges. Dogs. Farm tractors. Anybody do scenic? Okay. Well, when I was a kid, it was always the bank had always done... We always got one from our bank, and it was always usually very scenic ones, but they were, it kind of ranged from sometimes it would be a time of the time of the year, if it was winter time, when it was cold in the Midwest, but it'd be a pretty picture of snow on an evergreen with a cardinal or, capturing that moment that it's but it was way too you get something I got a calendar for a relative once who's really into tractor pulls, and so it's all these huge, humongous tractors, and every month with something different. Our family, my mom and dad's favorite Christmas gift is we make a calendar for them with our families are divided up on the months, and that's the one they look forward to the most. But it's that idea, whatever it is, you put that on that calendar. On each month, it's we track it, and it's, roughly approximately 30 days, But that picture on top is a way of a lens that we're looking through that entire month with that as our focus. And so normally, yes, we pick something that inspires us. Or, you know, instead of, no, I don't want snow on an evergreen with a cardinal in December. I want a picture of a beach because I want a picture of hope. I want to look forward to something. Where someone else is like, no, I want a picture of that cardinal in the snow because I don't want to miss it. I want to know there's things I need to be looking for right now. And then there's sometimes, like the classic cars, or, you know, on the bank calendar, it was like an old covered bridge in the country, you know, like days gone by, looking back. And so in all of that, whether it's looking back or looking right now, I don't want to miss it, or also looking ahead, that theme on the calendar is a way of kind of like saying, hey, you know, you got 30 days, but you're on the dashboard, you're looking at it through that picture. And it's a great way to approach it. But it's possible, as I think, you know, so much of it, as far as I think of that metaphor, it's possible to mentally focus on uglier things. And what part of what gave me this idea, one of you guys said dogs over here on the calendar. Well, forgive me for this illustration. But so my daughter and son-in-law received a gift, and it was one of those where it had a picture of a dog and a different breed of dog every month. So every month, this beautiful, high-pixelated, just high-definition picture of this beautiful-looking dog, a certain breed of dog, different venue, background, every one of them was different. But this calendar, one thing they all had in common was the dog was arching its back, hunched over, doing that thing that requires you to have a doggy bag. And in high definition, you could tell what color and texture of what he was doing was. Yes, it was a gag gift. But it was like my daughter's like, but I don't know what to do with it because I'm not going to put it up because, I mean, you can't look at it. You can see it. It's just like, there it is. And I'm like, you know, but as I thought about it, it's like it is possible to do that with our days. You know, how? Turn on the news. Here is, you know, perfectly true circumstances, but, you know, we're going to show what bad happened. Or, you know, it's an election season. You know, this is why you need to be upset. This is where the dog crapped today, you know. But am I right? I mean, this is there are ways that things can get mentally in front of us that all of a sudden I'm walking and I'm either angry or I'm up. Oh, there it is again, you know. And they have algorithms that sit there and can feed you more and more and more. Oh, look, another example of this type of, instead of a type of dog, it's a type of person or background. And look what they did. And it just spoils us. And rather than being inspired and looking at our days with hope, it's cynical. And just, nah, there it is again. And so potentially, I think that there's something important that we can, as far as have in front of us. And so how do we as Christians frame our mind and have a lens that puts us on a positive view of our year and also a truthful year? Well, one of the things for asking, one of the things that I was thinking about is that we are in the book of Romans and we are resuming our study and we're beginning with chapter 5. The first four chapters had explained the good news, the gospel of Jesus, that God has found a way through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus to justify the ungodly. And that includes everyone, all of us, because Romans teaches us that God sees and understands our hearts, and he understands all that there is, and there is no one able to stand on their own righteousness in the presence of God. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous. No, not one. So if you consider yourself a righteous person outside of Christ, then he can't help you. Can't help you. But understanding that you and I are ungodly to start with and that we can be justified, that means declared right with God, that is where all of chapter four, the first four chapters, is talked about this gospel. And that's why our lives start. And that's where he's explained. But now, in chapter 5, he begins a new section of the letter. In chapter 5 of Romans, he's talking about the results or the effects of this justification by faith. And chapter 4 was all about Abraham. How Paul is saying, this isn't new, that Abraham, it said, believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called a friend of God because he believed God, and that we are, to, as far as believing God, that my acceptance and your acceptance before God is found in who he is and what he did in the person of Jesus Christ. That ultimately is where he's explaining these benefits that come from that. And one of the overriding aspects, there's a lot of things in chapter 5, but the main theme I'm going to draw out is this idea of justified joy. That there's mentioned in these 11 verses that Shane read this morning, three different times is this word of rejoicing. Of rejoicing. And is one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith. And it's because it's unique to the Christian faith, because that it's all done in him. Everything but what he did, and that we can have peace with God in our relationship with him, that is ultimately, Paul, is much of this chapter is about the resulting joy. And that's why, as far as marking the Christian faith, it's like how easy it can be within, especially when you think about culture wars and things in the news, where all of a sudden you're looking at the effect of basically the bad things or the things that you don't want to have on the front page, and that's what our focus is. And all of a sudden, rather than this joy, that is this like, yep, there it is again. There's another one. What's wrong with this generation? What's wrong? And it's like, rather than being marked by the lens that I'm looking at, and that's what Romans 5 does. It provides a framework by saying, Christian, do you realize this? Do you realize this? I mean, this is the effect of, like, don't be the person who got a job and has all these benefits and they never bothered to read the benefits package and didn't even exercise and realize the benefits that they have because they never chose to read. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know. And so that's what Romans 5 really brings. And so I'm not, for today's purposes, I knew we were going to be shorter, but I want to show you the next 3 weeks and how I want to break it down. And so today we're going to look at joy and hope. And we see that in verses 1 and 2 where he's saying we rejoice in hope. But in 3 through 11, he talks about rejoicing in suffering. Okay, none of us ever start there. But that is as far as the progression of the Christian life. And ultimately, the rest of the chapter is rooted in verse 12 where he says that we rejoice in God. And that ultimately where our joy is rooted and sourced in is God himself. And so we begin today with this idea of rejoicing in hope. Well, next week we'll look at that, what it looks like to actually rejoice in our suffering. And it's not, but it stems from what he has done and our hope and trust in him. So, but for today, just moving into that today, here's the three things I want to look at. As far as this idea of rejoicing hope that we have in Christ as a Christian and putting these on our calendar in front of us. And the first one is the idea of joyful relief, peace with God, then joyful access to God's grace in verse 2 and the other last half of verse 2. We're going to see about joyful anticipation. And in each one of these, you see that, just where I talked about the calendar, how the joyful relief tent is going to be looking back on something that's already happened. And yet the joyful access to God's grace is all about right now. It's all about like, no, I want to be able to see this time of the year, the beauty that's there, and I don't want to miss the privilege that I have in it right now. And that's the present. And then the future, the joyful anticipation. And so all of this is bound up in this hope. So let's look at this first one, this idea of a joyful relief in peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, he's writing to the church, okay? This is to chapter 5, so this is important that we have been justified by faith, by believing in who Jesus is, believing in what Jesus did, believing who I am, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and that I can have forgiveness and peace with God, simply believing that on the cross that he died for my sins and that he rose again for my justification, that he ever liveth to intercede for me, that is the gospel. And it says, I have peace with God. If you just started reading Romans in chapter 5, this wouldn't really maybe mean much to you. Well, you have peace with God. Well, of course I did. Talk to a person that's like, well, I didn't have anything against. I thought God and I are good. And we, the only way to have the understanding that the relief and the peace is the fact that we've gone through the first four chapters that basically are like, wow, not pretty. Not pretty. That heart. Boy, I see my heart in there. Not pretty, not righteous, and wow. In fact, I'm under wrath, because that's part of the problem with this world is that as far as we've sinned and gone our own way, and that's the problem, and that the desire for justice is God's wrath. Oh my goodness, and that's what the cross is. See, to understand and to have the relief from that is to appreciate where I came from. Have you ever had dreams that were a bad nightmare that would seem so real? So, do you ever have recurring ones that were like, so like when I was in college, I was very busy, and in my senior year, I'd interviewed a lot and had a lot of good opportunities, so I was traveling a lot and with second interviews and such, and I had this dream that I got so busy, I forgot I had a class that I needed to graduate. And in the dream, it was like two-thirds of the way through the semester, I realized I had this class. And in the dream, I go to the class, and I'm sitting there looking at the syllabus, looking at what I haven't turned in yet, looking at what I've got to learn to be able to, and I could cram with the best of them, just so you know. And even with that, I'm looking at it saying, not a chance. And just that sinking feeling like I'm not graduating. How in the world? Well, I know how it happened. I was so stinking busy. I wake up and I'm like, oh, it's a dream. Somebody, Chuck Swindoll asked his sister once, what's the best emotion? And I did this at youth group. Oh, love or this or that. And then she answered right away, relief. And that's not what I was expecting, he said. But as he thought about it, he says, yeah. The power of relief. Oh, that's what this is talking about. That kind of joy, like, oh. Because really, psychologists tell us that most people's biggest fear is death. And then ultimately associated with that is what happens next. And to know that, no, because of Jesus and it's Christ, it isn't like how well you've got a good record or you've tried hard or you've did your best, nobody's perfect. No, that you're standing before God. God says, no, there's peace. Why? Because Christ absolutely took it and God's perfect justice, God's perfect love to you and I. And it's like, you want to talk about a joyful relief. Have you tasted that relief? Have you tasted that? And having that, and one of the things is that we need to have that in front of us. Because so we are so prone to forget. Ray Stedman talked about a godly pastor when he was a youth, a young pastor and who ministered to him greatly. And in his later years, he called him out there because he was struggling in his heart that God wasn't going to accept him. You can know the gospel and have known it your whole life, and these thoughts can creep into your head. And the importance of why we need to be reminded, and the importance of having that in front of us. And this is the importance of this, is cultivating this and having the Word of God being enriching and renewing our mind and having this in front of us, because we need a steady diet of this joyful relief and peace with God. Our communion offers that, but having peace. I'm no longer under wrath. And just because you're ignorant, let's say somebody says, well, who doesn't know the gospel, doesn't know their need for a Savior, and, oh, I've got peace with God. I have. This isn't talking about peace in your heart. There is peace, that the peace of God that we can get, but this is talking, I have peace with God, that God and I are good. And just because you're ignorant of that, if you're outside of His grace, it is not a celebration, because ultimately there is an accounting. But for those who are in Christ, there's no fear of death. There's no fear of judgment. 1 John says, perfect love casts out all fear. And there is a relief in having that and being reminded, because there's so many times that Satan and the enemy can put thoughts into your head where God is not happy with you, where God is very disappointed in you, where our peace comes from Jesus. Our peace comes from Jesus. And actually it says in Ephesians, go ahead and pull that up. Jesus is our peace, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off. Who is that? That was you and that was me. Before Jesus, we were not a part of God's community, but we have been brought near by what? The blood of Jesus. He Himself is our peace. Do you know that this morning? That holy relief, that on that cross when He died, that He came as a person, as real as a person next to you, and that He came and died, the one who passed out the bread and the wine, the hands would soon be broken for you and for me, and God's righteous wrath. And if you're ever tempted to say that I don't feel like I can have that kind of sense of relief, then you're saying that's not enough. That's not enough. And that's saying, that's a holy relief. There's a joyful relief. And to experience that it's done. Jesus said, it is finished. Next thing is this joyful privilege. A joyful privilege. And look at what it says. Through Him, meaning Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access, you can't see it, but in the Greek, it is in the perfect tense, and that means it is a permanent possession. We obtained access, and this is going to the privilege that we have in Christ. We have this privilege into His grace. You know, today, if you say the word privilege, it's usually supposed to begin with an apology. Well, I'm privileged, or you're privileged in this, and we're really trying to finger point or find people of privilege. And the rejoicing, the word for rejoicing here means to boast. To boast and to a joyful privilege, and to have that in front of you as the benefits of Him. That this is one of those things, that this is the present. This is like right now. Next week we're going to be able to say in the midst of suffering, but today, like being able to look out in this time of the year where it's not necessarily a picturesque Chamber of Commerce photos aren't being taken this time of year. But you know, we look, and it's, but just being able to, you see the beauty right now in your life that you have a privileged access into this grace. And so often into this, when we talk about access, we talk about access and privileges. People who are born within powerful families, we say that they have privilege, or they got the job because they knew somebody, because they have access to things that we don't. And even our literature, our popular genres of literature, whether it's the Marvel series, the Harry Potters, and you have the, like, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Clark Kent of Superman, seemingly ordinary people, but who have amazing and unique access to superpowers that just lie beneath the surface, and on the surface, you wouldn't be able to tell that they had this power. And a lot of the popular literature today is kind of like teaches and encourages you to kind of like, well, some part of you, there's something amazing in there. And that's, you just need to find access to unlocking it. And rather than though the scripture is telling us, as far as the Christian, you can have ordinary Peter Parker people who sit there and have this amazing access that belie their appearance. But the world, you know, if you have money, power, a beauty, that's where the privilege is. Well, Jesus didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have good looks, according to scripture. There was nothing, the prophecy 800 years before said that there was nothing about him physically that would attract us to him. He had none of that. But it's like, in him, all the riches of God and the wisdom of God dwell in Christ. And if you are in Christ, it's like you have access. This is temple language. This is a reminding that, to say that we have obtained access, that is the right to approach. And using the language of the temple, where certain people get to come near where God is. Grace here is almost shorthand, N.T. Wright says this. Grace here is almost a shorthand for the presence and power of God himself. You know, you and I, we have to be reminded. We have to be reminded of the privilege and the access to the grace of God, the power of God, the presence of God. And as far as just thinking of that temple language, because we so often forget. Hebrews 10, 19 and 22 says this, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and with full assurance of faith." And that's why it's in which we stand. We don't crawl in. We walk in. It's just like, you know, walk. We have just like your kids would walk into your house versus if I just walked into your house, you'd be like, why didn't you knock? You know, but you don't expect your kids to knock. But the power and the privilege and the access in Christ that we have as his family members to come in him with whatever is on our hearts and interceding for one another. I think that I like this illustration from the Masters. So the Masters golf, if you're not a golfer, the Masters is in the spring. It's in Augusta, Georgia at this legendary course. The winner every year gets a green jacket. Now, nobody is running out there to get a jacket, a sports jacket, as green as JW's shirt. I mean, somebody, and I'll wait, somebody's offended because they are wearing one. It's Packerland. I got to be careful. But the idea is that, you know, these jackets are not fashionable in the sense of the way the world sees fashion, but to have that jacket means, you know, as far as you have a lifetime, this is an exclusive private club, but you have a lifetime honorary membership. And in the same way, you know, the winner, they come and they put that green jacket on the person that wins it, and they're standing there and they're just beaming. In the same way that we have access, that kind of access, because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And as the world sees it, a poor peasant carpenter who was not necessarily attractive, his life, God himself, and that we are clothed in a righteousness and that we can walk in. Walk in as his sons and daughters and wanting to have that kind of mindset. Psalm 84, verse 10 and 12 says this. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than to live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will hold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. And see, this is as far as bathing in his word and as far as allowing his word to marinate and to cultivate that joy. Just in the same way that you put that, whatever, those classic cars or those camping things, those things that you delight in. Part of rejoicing, that word rejoice, it means an intensive. So this idea of joy, things that we delight in, take joy in, it's like that's why we put them on a calendar. Because we're like, we want to linger. We want to linger over it. And by doing this, and God's word takes us there and allows us to linger and reminds us to renew our mind. In the same way, you don't forget what classic cars like, but you want them in front of you, or the camping, or the tractors, or whatever, the scenic, the beauty. But we like to have it, our minds renewed and refreshed. In the same way, Christians, to cultivate walking in one and saying, you know what, I don't want to be grumpy, frumpy, and I don't want to be glum, you know. But as far as allowing the scriptures and having that your mind's refreshed on the calendar of our mind, on having that the benefits of the gospel to be reminded. Just a personal note, I got a call this morning. My daughter Dondi and Nick, they welcomed our second grandson at 6:30 this morning. The reason I bring it up is because his name is Casper. And she said that she got it because that was Corrie ten Boom's father's name. And my daughter's a reader of Christian history, but more than that, his Casper, it means treasure bearer. And this is why one of the church tradition always named one of the three kings. Don't know why there's three, but one of the names of church tradition was Casper, because he came bearing treasure. And so what I love, and I'll forever remember the name, because that's when I learned about it going into this message, and just his name is treasure bearer. And it's like, you know, if you're in Christ, you have privileged access to all the treasures and the riches of God, and that you are taking them into your homes and into your places of work, into your places of retirement, and that all, in that sense, we are all Casper, that we are all like, and but you know, how often do I forget to, you know, the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That rings true for my life. I sing that with truth. I do not carry everything to God in prayer when I should, and I forget the privilege. And what's so good about gathering over his word and in song and with each other and including that in your rhythm of life is that we are renewed and reminded of the privilege that we have. And so often I forfeit that. Don't forfeit that. And take boast in your privilege. Boast in your privilege. That's what he's saying. Rejoice. And it has that boast connotation. Because when I boast, it's like I'm glorying in it. Oh, I have this privilege. And then it's going to naturally take me. And that goes to this last one of taking this of this hope and this joyful anticipation of God's glory. Because yes, I am not everything that I desire to be, nor that he desires to be. But it says in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In the day of Christ Jesus, that sense of completion that is talking about when you think about God's glory, this is like everything that God's full purposes and intended, that desire, all the things that God wants you to be as far as growing and being more Christ-like. Boy, I'm not there yet. Sometimes I disappoint myself, you know, and yes, but don't take your focus off yourself for a minute. Glory in the Savior. That is where our hope is. And that's the glorious hope, is that we rejoice in the hope. And the hope, the word for hope, we use it in the English word, like Leland said, I hope the Bears make the playoffs. You see why I bring this up? Because when I say, I hope in the glory of God, what's the difference? The difference is, in the New Testament Greek, the word means confident expectation. Confident expectation. There's just a confidence. No, it is rock solid. I am confident as sure as the sun is coming up tomorrow. And it's like one of the things as we do, as we put on our calendar and taking joy in the joyful relief and the peace that we have with God because of Christ, because of that. But then also the privilege, access, and join and taking joy in that and boasting in that, and that cultivates, and then we causes us to look in the future and knowing that he's not done. And I do know that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I do know that he will wipe every tear from our eye. All those desires that he's put in us that we says, wow, to see it fully as God intended, it will be. And you know, and to glory, so to glory in what has been done. Relief and just saying, no, it's already done. But also in the privilege that I have right now in prayer, in going to him, into his throne room, in the kingdom as his child, not because of how my week's been, but because of his favorite son, bring that up again. And also to look forward and glory in what he's going to do. And you notice it's shifting from what I can do to what he's going to do. And then, and as it goes through these verses in Romans, and that's how the suffering, being able to see and know what he's doing and that hope, but also just the glory of what God is doing and leaving room for wonder. And just not in this digital age, which has to explain everything and put it out, is just saying, I don't know, but it's going to be good. Oh, let's pray. Worship team, come on up. Lord, I thank you that we can have, that ultimately the gospel is good news when we recognize our own hearts and our need for you. But Lord, the gospel is all about you. And Lord, we live in a culture where we're encouraged to make it all about us and ourselves and all the human saviors that are going to come and demonizing all these different people who, and the hunched over dog pictures of making society out and who's the bad person of the month. And Lord, may we be a people that are marked not by looking like we hold a night job at the local mortuary, but Lord, that we would be joyful people, infused by your joy. Not a happy, clappy, fake smile, Lord. We can be sad and we can mourn and still be joyful, but Lord, that we could be rooted in the joy because of who you are and what you've done in Christ. And that, Lord, that joy, might it be contagious in our homes, in our church, in our community, and may you receive the glory. And all God's people said,